Oh, more fluffy white stuff. I was telling Pop when I was walking in, he was out scraping the ice off the sideboards of the truck, and I pulled in and spoke to him. I said, "Yeah, it's just beautiful when it's white and fluffy at the beginning of winter. Now we are very, very done." With white fluffy stuff. As long as it's just a little bit of a coating, it covers up the ugly that happens with our snow. But I am so thankful to be in the house of the Lord today. And what a lesson we have ahead of us. When the light shines. Now, we like light. And I was hoping the sun would really come out, and I see some breaking in the clouds over there. And so when maybe in just a few minutes you can look out and see what light does to what we see around us. This is the third lesson in this series on the book of John. And we're going to be looking at John chapter 9 today, talking about a man born blind. And verse 39 of chapter 9, "And Jesus said, 'For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind.'" Wow. Jesus, I mean, I think we could all say, and we'll stop and pray in a minute, but let's just say this first. I think we could all say that those that are blind, we want them to see. But how would we feel, or how do we feel about the seeing being made blind? But that's what Jesus said he came to do. And I'll just say, maybe what they saw wasn't what they should see. And he wanted them to really see. Think about the difference between sight and seeing. And we'll just throw this one in here too, because it's all about our perspective and our grasping things. And there is hearing. That's just the physical ability to hear something. And then there is listening. And oh, the difference that is made in that. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today, to look at your word. Lord, we pray that this lesson, the ins and the outs and the wow perspectives of this lesson, God, help us to take them into our hearts and our minds and walk out of here different than when we were when we came in. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, icebreaker, what is your favorite work of art? Okay, I'm not familiar. I would say I've never been there, seen pictures, but the Sistine Chapel, and people rave about that. And then you could say that somebody would say maybe the Mona Lisa, and you know, those types of things. Any Sister Becca back there has lots of good feelings about art, and that, Sister Glover.
I like Van Gogh's Starry Night.
That was good, Pastor. Where did this Van Gogh? Yes. And Van Gogh was an artist that wasn't really known at all until after he died. He did all of that work that we rave about now and think is awesome. But when he was alive and creating that, could we say he's a nobody? Nobody really knew about him. But looking at art, the lesson introduced me to a man I had never heard of. And I'm going to butcher his name, but his name is Esrif Armagan. I guess that's how you would say it. I believe he was Turkish. He was a Turkish painter, and he came to born in Istanbul, Turkey, I believe is what I read. And he came to the United States, but he was born blind. But look what he can do, Brother Levi. A man that has never seen in his entire life, never seen, is able to do that. And as he learned, the story says that when he was about 4 years old, he noticed that people constantly told him to be careful about where he was and his environment. But he also noticed at the same time that they didn't tell each other to do that. Dad didn't tell Mom to watch out for that puddle. How come they're telling me to watch out for that puddle? Because he didn't know that you could see. And so he went to his parents, and his dad explained to him, well, it's like this. We can see what's around us, but you can't. And so he asked his dad to show him what he was seeing. And so he started introducing him to objects. And you know, if it was too big that he couldn't actually touch all around it, then his dad would make models and started introducing him to what was seen around. And he then moved into creating and painting. And at first, the first thing he ever did, his dad had a butterfly. And he had some sort of medium. I, in my mind, I'm picturing like cardboard that you could poke holes in, or maybe a clay base that you could make a design around the object. So he was able to feel with his fingers and make a design around that butterfly so that he could then have a visual of that butterfly. And as he learned to paint, now he doesn't paint with a brush, because when he has something between his hand and what he is creating on, he loses contact because he can't feel through the brush. But he can feel, and he paints with his hands. And he learned about colors, and in the beginning, learning about different colors. Well, his dad would say, well, this butterfly is this color, and on the upper part of its wing, it has a dot that's this color. And, you know, just describing what he was seeing. And his dad would hand him the paint color. And after a while, he got help organizing and memorized how the colors were laid out for him. And then people would look at him and say, well, you know, the tree doesn't go through the house. The tree is behind the house. And learning about perspective and learning about the most important thing that he learned in creating art was the effect of light coming into an environment. And it made his paintings realistic. And it helped them go beyond being two-dimensional. But to think that this man that created this was born blind. And in his 60s, A doctor came to him and said, hey, your problem is with your visual cortex, and I think we could fix it. And you could see. And he told them, he said, I already see. Why do I want to change my perspective? Because he had learned to see. My mind also went to Helen Keller. How could she see? She couldn't see, and she couldn't speak, hear either. That was even more difficult. But if we have a disability or we have a block in our abilities, our other senses are heightened and we can still function because our body makes up for it. And in our lesson today, we are going to be talking about the difference between just seeing something or just having sight and really seeing the situation in this man that was born blind. Isaiah says in Isaiah 9:6, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Israel had an ongoing problem. Is it 6:9? Yes, I'm sorry. Israel had an ongoing problem with moving through their lives with in this rut, and they began to not really see what was happening. So John chapter 9, let's start at verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him. Now this is where just having sight. This is about sight. His disciples asked him. You would think the disciples would have a different perspective. But they didn't have a different perspective. They were stuck in that same rut that Israel had found itself in. And they said to Jesus, Master, who did sin? In other words, if there's a problem in your life, there has got to be sin in your life. Not necessarily true. The sin that could be in our lives and may be in our lives, because I'll just speak for me. It's an everyday thing, getting rid of sin in our lives. We need to work hard at keeping sin out of our lives. But the sin, if it exists in our lives, may not have anything to do with the troubles that we have in our life. And sin had nothing to do with that man that was blind from his birth. It said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither one. His being blind has nothing to do with sin. Kind of like Job's friends. They felt that his problem was all about that he had to have sinned. What'd you do, Job? I don't know. I've offered sacrifices. I pray for my children. I have tried to maintain integrity with God. But his friends were sure that he had sinned. Tried and tried and tried to convince him. And so when Jesus said in verse 5, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And we're thinking about it and we're looking about the effect of light. Not the light from the sunshine, but the light from the Son of God, from God, Jesus Christ. And so in verse 6, and when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Goes right back to creation. The one thing that God personally got involved with is getting down in the dirt and forming man. This man born blind, the scriptures are sort of indicating here that he must not have had eyes in the eye sockets. Now, it doesn't say, but why did Jesus create something in the dirt and very carefully smear it over the eyelids and says, now go. In verse 7, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is in, by interpretation, sent. He was going to be sent. What was he going to be sent to do? We'll see what he was sent to do. He ended up with a revelation that we're going to talk about. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Is it that Jesus knelt down and made some mud and smeared it on his eyes so that when he washed, he would have eyes in his sockets that could open and see the world around him? There's no more explanation other than that there was mud washed, you know, wiped on his eyes, and he washed and he was seen. And his neighbors noticed, who are you? We don't know you. Oh, yes, you do. You know me. I am the man that was born blind. Well, it can't be you because you can see. They couldn't believe it. Yeah. Yeah, it highly possible. And so even though the scripture doesn't detail that out, there's plenty here that leads to the fact that God knelt in the dirt right there again and made a creation. He wants to be physically involved with us. Not just speak creation for us, touching us, working in our lives. The question when we have struggles in our lives that we have to think about is we are constantly asking why. Why is this happening to me? Why is that going on? Why? Be around a 3, 4, 5-year-old. It never ends. Why? And then if you want them to do something, why? You guys never did that, right? Okay. I won't get there. I won't step in that one. But really, the questions that we need to ask is how? How will this situation, this circumstance, change our lives? Or change the lives of those around us? How? How did that happen? And how will it change what's happening in our lives? How? Well, the neighbors still didn't get any satisfaction, and they grabbed him up, and they took him along, and they took him before the Pharisees. And the interrogation continues. And the Pharisees said, this man, in verse 16, this man is not of God, speaking of Jesus, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. In other words, he can't be of God because he doesn't obey the law. having sight, only seeing what they can see, and what they have entrenched themselves in, that they have such a hard time being brought out of that and having a different perspective. And Jesus came to change our perspective of things. Last week in the Sunday school lesson, you learned about seeing an unseen harvest. And it's the laborers that have to change their perspective in order to see what's around us. And still today, we need to learn to see what he sees and not what we see. It's our perspective. And so here, oh, he can't be of God. Jesus cannot be of God because he's breaking the Sabbath. He wasn't supposed to make clay and smear it on that man's eyelids and tell him to walk, I don't know how far it was, to the Pool of Siloam. Maybe it was further than he was supposed to take that many steps. I don't know. But there was some breaking of the Sabbath, and the Pharisees said, well, this man can't be of God. And others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? So there was this huge divide in the Pharisees. Oh, can't be God. But how can that happen if he's not God? The Jews did not believe concerning him. The man that was born blind, they couldn't believe his story because he told them. They said, hey, what happened? Well, this man, Jesus, knelt and you know, told the story, just exactly what had happened. But they didn't want to believe him. So the interrogation continues. And they bring his parents and said, what? Tell us how this happened. And the parents, petrified, the religious leaders are staring them in the face and saying, how did this happen? Is this, well, and they said, well, we don't know. They're not really going to commit either way. We have no idea. We know that this is our son. We know he was born blind. He can see, and we have no idea how it happened. And then they cinch it. And therefore, in verse 23, the end of the verse, he said, he's of age. Ask him. In other words, we're going to be hands off on this one. We are not going to get in trouble. We don't want to get in trouble. We're not going to touch it. He's our son, and he was born blind. That's what we can tell you. And it goes on and on. And finally, you get down into verse 28 through 34. The Pharisees continue to interrogate him. How did this happen? What is going on? He turns around. The man that was born blind looks at the Pharisees and said, what's the problem here? Are you wanting all of this information so you can be his disciple? Oh, wow. No, that didn't go over very good at all. And they just got angry at him. And they cast him out. They just didn't want to hear anymore. And you know what the problem was? At one point in time, the man that was born blind that had been healed called him a prophet. Because the revelation of what had happened to him was beginning to dawn on him. He went from, oh, his name was Jesus, to saying that he was a prophet. That man who touched me and told me to go wash, he's a prophet. And the enlightenment in his heart and life and mind is growing and growing and growing. And then what is happening to the Pharisees as that grows? They get angrier and angrier. Because they don't want to know that Jesus is God. It goes against everything that they have ever been taught from the very beginnings of their life. They're entrenched in the first five books of this Bible that we have. And they go further if they, after a certain age, and Brother Greg, I don't remember when that age is, but they then dig further into it. If they have an aptitude for the word and they are on a pathway to be either a Pharisee or a Sadducee, then they study more and more, and their whole lives are about the word and interpreting. And then they get into learning all of the laws that have been added outside of this book. And they are that is what is important to them. But the problem was that they have sight to see, but they really don't see. They can't change their minds. They cannot believe. They want their Messiah, but when he was there, he wasn't what they wanted. He was not what they wanted. But the man that was born blind is now beginning, not just receiving his sight, but he is now beginning to really see who it was that touched him. And after he was cast out, Jesus heard that they had cast him out and the interrogation was over. Jesus wanted nothing to do with what happened right there. But he found the man in verse 35, and he said, and that Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? After all of this that you just went through, do you believe on the Son of God? He'd already called him a prophet. And he answered and he said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Yeah, I want to believe on him. But who is he? And verse 37, and Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. That's where God wants to bring every one of us. He wants to look us in the face. Now, I know it's not a physical look in the face, but he wants to look us in the face and say, do you believe in me? Yeah. Or do you believe in God? Right. Well, I don't know who God is. There was a time, it's a long time ago now, but there was a time in my life that I didn't know anything about God. I wasn't raised in a church. Before I started coming to Sunday school at the church that I ended up finding the Lord in, I had been to church one time in my life, and I was 12 years old when I started going to Sunday school, and that was because my best friend lived behind me in the alley, across the alley, and her house was right across the street from the ball fields. Baseball fields, Little League baseball fields. And we spent lots and lots of time there. But she took piano lessons from the pastor's wife at the church just up the street from where she lived. So that was behind me and up the street was this little church. And the pastor and his family lived upstairs. And my friend, best friend, had been invited to Sunday school. She came to me and she said, oh, no, 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 I can't go by myself. You want to go with me? And I went. And I kept going. because I felt something there. God was looking me in the face every time I went. And he said, do you want to believe in God? Just like Jesus asked that man. Well, who is God? Well, I'm talking to you right now. I'm talking to you through people who are loving on you, people who are teaching you, people who are preaching messages to you. I'm talking to you through them, and I want to spend time with you personally too. And God wants to introduce himself to all of us. And in that introduction, we have a decision to make. Are we going to be flexible with what happened in our past, whatever it was? Whether it was entrenched in this book, in another way, in another perspective, or our culture said, oh, no, 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 that's not the God. This is the God. Or these are the gods. And you do this with this one, and you do this for that one. And however our perspective is, God wants us to make a decision. Am I going to stay like this? Like the Pharisees, we are just like this and nothing is going to change us. We can have that perspective. Or we can let the light shine into our lives and change us. And the light on the man, the light coming from the blind man who had received his sight, he should, in their minds, that was impossible. Blind, the blind had been healed. But only the blind that had been seeing before they became blind. Those had been healed. But a man born blind, a man that probably didn't have eyeballs in the sockets, that is an impossibility. The Pharisees said, oh, no, no, it's never happened, ever. Can't happen. But we have to know and understand that God wants to take us out of where we are entrenched. Whatever it is that we're entrenched in, God wants to change our perspective. He wants to really open our eyes to see. To really see, not that we have sight, that we can read something and we could make beautiful art, not me, but, you know, somebody else might could. And you know, all of these things that we do because we have sight. But God wants us to see. He wants us to see what he wants us to do. And see the people that he will put into our lives to minister to. And here, how many times, I didn't count them all, but I know that several times in the Gospels, I think it was four times in Matthew, and three in Mark, and two in Luke, and none in John, and then you go to Revelation, and it's seven times. And I know that this is not sight, but it is how we perceive things, where Jesus would say, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Why did he have to say that? Because they could hear, but they really didn't hear. He talked in parables so that the hungry would know. Because they're not really complicated. They were actually very down to earth in what they lived with every day. I mean, they sowed fields all the time. They knew what rocky soil did. They knew what the thorns did to good seed, and they knew what good seed was. The lost coin. How many times have we lost something? And we get the broom out, we move the furniture, we're doing everything to do. We're going to find what we lost. And so those were very real examples of understanding what God wanted us to do. And people were either going to understand them and see the light in it and the change that could happen and the change that was coming, or they were just so rigid in what they knew, what they could see, and what they could hear. That they could not see the light. And when they did see light coming that they didn't want to respond to, they put it away. We don't want anything to do with this. The book of John was introduced talking about light. John 1, 1 through 5 says, "In the beginning was the Word." We all know this. Probably memorized it. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life, that life that He had, was the light of men." He shines into this world and brings light that changes perspective. Everything is just two-dimensional until you introduce light that creates shadows and depth to what we see. And we need that perspective. We need light. And so, "And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness." Jesus came to shine into the darkness of this world and create a pathway for us to know how to reconnect with Him and become who He wants us to be. "And the light shineth in darkness, and unfortunately, the darkness comprehended it not." That is what Israel was. There were a few in Israel, but in the book of Acts, the majority, it became the majority of those brought to this life with God were not the Jews. It quickly flipped and moved into the Gentiles. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful. I want them to comprehend. And there is a day coming. If you believe what happens in what's talked about in the end of the book, they have another chance to really see and understand that their Messiah did come. And they didn't comprehend. They didn't understand that He was coming. And in John 8, if the light that was talked about in the first chapter of John, in John 8 and 12, it said, He said that, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light." He brings light into our lives. And so when we think about this lesson and what happened here, how do you see yourself, or where do you see yourself in this story? This circumstance, this situation. Which character are you? Are you a disciple that starts out saying, "Hey, Which one of these guys sinned? You know, did he sin or did his parents sin?" They didn't understand either. So are you a disciple? Or are you the neighbors that, "Oh, you can't be"? Are you the parents? "Oh, I don't want to get in trouble." Yeah, I will admit, it's my son, he was born blind, but that's all I'm going to say. He's a grown man, you ask him. You going to be a Pharisee? And just, come on now. That man that did that, he's a sinner. And then turn it around on him and said, oh, give glory to God. Tell us what happened. Because we're trying really hard to prove that Jesus Christ is a sinner. So the Pharisee. And there's one more character that we could be in this story. Are we going to be the believer? That when the light shines into our life, when God puts a situation and a circumstance into our life that we may not understand, let's not ask why? But let's ask how. How can this situation change me to be more like Him? How can this situation bring glory in the lives of those around me? That someone could say, hi, I don't understand how you can just be like this with that happening. Because we still have tough circumstances. As a matter of fact, we might have more than we would have had. Didn't Jesus say that we're going to be persecuted for knowing Him? Now, I don't think that any of us have really lived with persecution yet. Not like it can happen. Not like we know it has happened and know that it is happening. We are typically not thrown in jail for what we believe. Is it coming? It might be. It got really tense during COVID when church was not relegated as essential. And a bar was, or a liquor store. That's essential. It's got to be open. But oh, the churches, no, you need to lock your doors and stay home. And I guess I didn't really keep up with all that went on in that, but there was a struggle that went on. And our culture around us is in a place that whatever they want, whatever they believe is being flaunted in front of us all the time and pushed and shoved. And if we raise our hand or we say something, we're wrong. But the light is going to shine. The light needs to shine. A man named Hugo Green, and I probably butchered that name, in 1944, he and his father were taken to Auschwitz. They were Jews. And then they were moved to another forced labor camp, and I'm not even going to try to say that. I'll just say it was a forced labor camp, and it was not Auschwitz, okay? And in that horrible situation, his father, now they didn't have a calendar, but in his father's mind, it was Hanukkah. And his father took his ration of margarine and melted it into a little bowl. And he lit it on fire so that it was just a little light. And Hugo said to his dad, what are you doing? That's all the margarine you're going to get. Maybe it was the only flavor that was going to happen to that bread that they were that dried out bread they were going to get. I don't understand around the story. And the father looked at him and said, no, this. This is what's important. Well, but it's calories for you. It's food that you need. And Dad said, no, we already know that we can go 3 weeks without food. We did that already. And we made it 3 days without water. But there is something that is needed right now in this whole camp, and it happens with this little light. Because everyone here needs hope. And what was Hanukkah a celebration of? It was a celebration of the deliverance of the Jews. When God turned everything around in the book of the Bible that doesn't even mention God. And Esther was put there for such a time as this. And Hugo's dad was put there for such a time as this to give hope to everyone in that camp. And that's what the light, when the light shines in our lives, that's what can happen if we will believe. Thank you, Jesus, for the time that we have today. Let's get ready for worship. I am so excited to be in worship with all of you today, and I'm looking forward to the celebration, and God bless every one of you.